Glory to God.
Turn your Bibles to John 16. This has been an amazing, amazing year of revelation. Not like any other year before, I'll tell you that. The Lord's been very gracious to us. The Holy Spirit has given us some incredible understanding this year, and it continues, and it's going to continue on into fullness. Amen. John 16, we're going to pick this up. So John 16, verse 7, I've passed over these verses for many years, but wow, have they opened. I pray they open for you today. John 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him." I'm thinking, how expedient is that? Because if you were here, we'd be in a whole lot better shape. How many of you know if the Lord Jesus was reigning in Houston, Texas, in his ministry, the church would be a whole lot different than it is today? There's something we're missing here, amen? But he said, listen, the Comforter will come. I'm going to send him. In fact, he says, the Father's going to send him in my name. And then he says, here, I'm going to send him to you. And that's very important. And he says three things he's going to do here. And these are actually three progressive stages of his ministry. Each one is most incredible. He says, when he has come, he will reprove. Now, that word reprove, very important. It means to convict or to convince. He said he's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It's amazing what the Lord can say in one verse. And when the Holy Spirit expounds on that, what's all in that one verse is absolutely amazing. He said, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, you see me no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I want to get into that one heavy today. Hallelujah. That's powerful. Let's look at the first one really quick. The first one, he said he'll reprove or he'll convict the world of sin. And then when he describes it, he says, of sin because they believe not on me. The Lord never designed this gospel to be preached without the power of the Holy Ghost. Because then it becomes word only, and we are preaching a kingdom that's invisible. And we're asking an unbeliever to believe in an invisible kingdom. God never designed it not to be preached without the evidence, the materialization and the manifestation, and the Holy Spirit is the one that does that. And God designed it to be preached that way. But what happens when we either just completely remove ourselves from Him, remove Him, or we go stepping on His toes, or a little combination of both, or we don't wait long enough for Him to get set up, we go about doing it our own way. And when we do that, we're not seeing the results of this gospel because he designed it that way. And I'll review that in just a minute. Now, he said the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. We see this very evident in Acts chapter 2 in the first message that Peter preaches in the book of Acts. That message, the first thing he does, this is what prophesied in the book of Joel. Then he goes right into the right hand of God. He makes two references to the right hand of God. He said, listen, we are eyewitnesses of his resurrection. And he said, his soul would not be left in corruption, but he was raised into the right hand of God, for which we are eyewitnesses. And Peter, he gets to go and preach, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost falls. And it says they were pricked in their heart. And 3,000 people were born again with no advertisement, with no marketing. Right there, power of God shook the city. Fell on the church, and that conviction power showed up. Now, the church has kind of lost a lot of that conviction. People come to church because they're in certain situations, but listen, there is a whole operation when conviction comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. That conviction will cause you to cry out, what must we do to be saved? We're begging them to come to the altar. When the Holy Ghost shows up, they'll be begging you. Stop preaching and tell me, how do I get saved? Why? Because he's there to convince them or convict them of their sinful state. It's that conviction, and that is a ministry and an operation of the Holy Ghost. And it's going to be fully restored. In the days of Finney, before he even got into the city, the conviction started showing up in the city. When the conviction starts showing up, people feel their sinful state. You don't have to tell them that they were born, that death passed upon all men. You don't have to convince them of anything. He's doing that on our behalf. We bear the testimony. He bears the witness. We see this with Peter when they said, launch out into the deep. Peter goes out into the deep and they have this massive catch and it fills both boats. The fish is filling the boat and he falls on top of the fish. He's laying prostrate before the Lord. Said he fell on his knees. He wasn't on land and the boats were filled with fish. Can you get the picture here? He's sitting on fish and he's crying. He says, depart from me. I am a sinful man. Now, how can you get sinful man with a boat full of fish? I don't get the correlation. There's a boat full of fish. That's his business. He should be pretty excited. And all of a sudden he's telling him, depart from me. What's he going to do? He's in the middle of the sea. You going to leave? He goes, I am a sinful man. You know what's going on there? Is the Lord manifested his glory. That manifested glory and that miracle and that manifested glory was hovering over those ships and it got all over Peter. And he felt that conviction. You see the exact same thing with the demoniac of Gadarene after they cast that legion of devils out of that man. It said he ran into the city, all those that were feeding the herd, the swine, and when the whole city came, and when they saw him, it says they were greatly afraid. The only thing that was happening, this man had been a demoniac, he was made whole. And they see that, but they were greatly afraid, and they started asking him, depart from us. There was something in the atmosphere was making them very uncomfortable. It was that conviction. And when they get under it, you either surrender to it. What must I do to be saved or you get away? That atmosphere is very real. That's part of his operation in the conviction of the lost. He's going to convict the lost, and he's not asking us to do that without him. Because we go preach the gospel without him, without that level of operation, we're confined to what we can do. This is what's really wrong with the church right now. Confined to what we can do instead of what God can do, working with us. Amen. Now, I remember when I was at Pensacola, Florida, they had a revival there, Brownsville Revival. I was in ministry at this time. I was about a year in the ministry, and we went there, and Steve Hill was preaching, and at the end of that service, he was having that altar call, and I'm telling you, I'm sitting there because I'm wanting to see who all's going to come to the front, and something comes over me. I'm like, what is this? I felt like I needed to get it saved again. I am telling you, I was this close to walking up to that altar, and I said, Lord, I am full-time ministry. I'm feeling conviction because that's what they had working in that revival. It was a harvest revival, but that conviction was heavy there. But one more minute, I was down there getting saved all over again. I was feeling it. That's an operation that's going to be fully restored. Amen. You and I have already been through that, so we're progressing to phase two. And more importantly, we're about to progress to phase three. Whoa, hallelujah. Now let's look at phase two, and this is where I'm going to review a little bit. This is where most of us get locked in for life right here. We get locked in phase two, and we don't hardly ever get to phase three. Listen, the Holy Ghost has to do this with you. He does not do this without you. Amen? Now, phase two is where we have been all year. Amen? But we're coming in to phase three. Hallelujah. Now let's look at phase two. So we'll read it again, verse 8. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin. So we see that conviction. And he says, and of righteousness. Now, you have to understand, so when he says world, he's doing that in a general sense. He's not going to convince anybody that's in the world system that has not gone through phase one. He's not going to be convincing them that they're righteous. You understand that? You cannot convince a sinner they're righteous because they're not. They're born in that state. They have to go to phase one, but once He convicts and they come into the kingdom, translated out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's going to start the process of convincing us of righteousness. And he says something very interesting in his explanation. He said, of righteousness, verse 10, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. In other words, I'm not here to do this for you. I've been here with you expounding the mysteries of the kingdom. But he is the one that's going to convince you of righteousness. Now that word righteousness, there is a boatload of revelation. It is loaded with revelation. And the righteousness means right standing. And the way that that's been taught for the most part in the church, that I am the righteousness of God. But we have found that it's been brought into a brand new level all this year. Amen. So let me show you what he's convincing you of. How does the Holy Spirit convince you of righteousness? Why is it important for him to convince you of right standing? Your right standing, your true right standing, is to be found in him where he is. Amen. He goes, I'm going to the Father. If you'll back up to chapter 14 for a minute, because this is one big long message, he'll tell you what he's talking about. John 14:1 said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And my Father's house are many mansions. The better word is dwelling places. He's actually not talking about just when you get there, you know, when this body gives way. He's actually going to prepare a place for you now. Amen. Of course, we know that because we've been in here all year. He goes, in my Father's house, there's many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and get you, that you can be with me, that where I am, there shall you be also. That's the third time he said that, where I am. It's actually the second time. He's going to say it again in chapter 17. He said it first in chapter 14. He's going to say it again in 17. He said in his last prayer, Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that you've given me. For where I am, there shall they be also. Where is he? Why was it important that he had to go away? He says, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the comforter won't come. Do you know why? He wanted a whole lot more than just one person's expression. He wanted the entire body expressing the kingdom of God just like he did. I'm thinking, man, we have a long way to go. But you know what? We really don't. Because when I got the revelation, when the lightning went through me a couple of weeks ago, I found out that is not our ministry. That's the Holy Ghost's ministry. That's what he's been given the job to do. He said, to be with me where I am. How many of you know Jesus accomplished that? He said, if Christ be in you, he says, if Christ be in you, if Christ be in you, you're found in him. Amen. What's Colossians 3? I haven't been there in a while. I want you to just go look at this for a minute. I can say it to you, but I want you to see this with your eyes. If you then be risen with Christ, how many of you know we're raised? How many of his will was that we be with him where he is? Where is he? He's seated at the right hand of God. When God raised him from the dead, he seated him at the right hand of the majesty on high. Chapter 1 of Hebrews. And then it said, the Father appointed him heir of all things. It was important. He had to go away. You know why he had to go away? The first reason, he had to go prepare a place for you, and he had to go prepare a way. He said, we don't know where you're going. Where you're going? He goes, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man's coming to the Father but by me. Now, we get that in the sense that we're going to the Father when we die, but you're going to the Father now. He made a way. The heavens have been opened. He's granted access. If you then be risen with Christ, Colossians 3, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above, not upon the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden away with Christ in the Father. That sounds like access to me. Having therefore boldly to enter into the holiest of all by the new and the living way, consecrated by the veil of your flesh, let us draw near. We have a high priest that passed through the veil, see. He was our forerunner, Hebrews says. A forerunner is you follow after the forerunner. I'm right behind you. Says, Father, I will they be with me where I am. Now we know in Hebrews, when he was raised from the dead, he was sat down at the right hand of God. And from that position, the Father appointed him heir of all things. Now we know more importantly that in Matthew 28:18, it says when in his resurrected state, he comes to his disciples and he says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. I have received it as an inheritance. The Father's appointed me heir of all things. One of our favorite scriptures, Revelation 5, he said, worthy is the Lamb to have received power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. He received this inheritance in the right hand of God on the behalf of you and I. What part of that inheritance did he not have before he came? He had all of that. He came to receive it on our behalf. That's why he said, listen, it's expedient for you that I go away. I need to go away. I need to go by way of the cross. I need to pay the price. When I do, I'm going to bury this old race, Adam's race, a fallen race, and I am going to create a brand new breed. And when I am, I will be raised into the right hand of God, and I will receive an inheritance on the behalf of the church. And when I receive that inheritance, I'm going to freely give it to you. You see that? Now, the Holy Spirit comes along. We get saved. We get translated into the kingdom. Now, his job is to convince us of what? Righteousness or right standing. What is the right standing? What is he convincing us? Why do we got to be convinced? How many know you're the righteousness of God? Well, we know that till it comes time to enter into the holiest of all. When we start entering to the holiest of all, the enemy reminds you of everything you're not. You ain't got it. You ain't all that. Now you're going to have to be convinced of things because you've got to believe. When you're entering into the kingdom, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. What does it say? You were raised together, made to sit together in heavenly places. He tells the disciples, you are not of this world. Man, if you crack this suit open, I'm actually an alien. But I got something else on side of me. I got an earth suit. When I crack that shell, that movie Cocoon, they crack that shell and something else is in there. I said, oh, wow. There's a new creation in there. And the Holy Spirit is sent to convince you. His first job, it says, you are no longer a sinner. You no longer belong to that race you came out of. You were buried with me in baptism. When I went down, you went down with me. When I was raised, you were raised together with me as a new creation. And the Holy Spirit was sent to convince you. Why? You got to know you are, because you cannot enter in to where he is if you don't know who you are. He's sent to convince you of your sonship. Convince you that you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Convince you that the kingdom of God is in you. Convince you you're not of this world anymore. Convince you you've been granted access. Convince you you're found in him in right standing. Convince you that you're accepted in the beloved. That's not accepted here, that's accepted there. That means I go to him. What did Jesus say? He goes, I present you faultless before my Father in the presence of his glory. You can go in to the Holy of Holies because Jesus is presenting you faultless with all of your faults. He's going to convince you that you are a forever perfected offering. He did his job. You are a new creation, forever perfected. You have a right to come into the kingdom now. You've been granted access now. You were raised together now. You were made to sit together now. He said to convince you. Why does he got to do that? He's got to get you there. Because that's where he sends you. He received the inheritance for you there in the right hand of God. He's got to convince you. Because every time you try to go up, the devil keeps trying to convince you, you still just belong to this world. I am not of this world. I may be wearing a body, but inside there's a new creation. I am a bona fide son of the living God. I am an heir. I am a joint heir with him. The Holy Spirit's convinced me. How did he do that? Right here. He said, you're a joint heir. He's got to convince you of these things. You start making your journey into God. God doesn't live in this jurisdiction. He lives in his. They that will worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to go through the Son. You're found in the Son. He prepared a place for you at the right hand of God. He blesses you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Raised together, made to sit together in heavenly places. You're more. That's what's wrong with the church. They just convince us we're just a good person. You're more than a good person. You're a son, an heir, a joint heir, a citizen of another kingdom. You've been granted access. There's an inheritance there waiting on you. Why is it important you make your journey? What do you think that hunger's for? Paul said, I'll be found in him. Jesus said, I prepare a place for you at the right hand of my Father. Holy Spirit sent to convince you of that. He's got to teach you. He's got to train you. He's got to mentor you. He's got to change your way of thinking. Here it's give me a little anointing with some human sufficiency and let's get on with the show. God said, no, surrender all that. I need your testimony. See, in that phase too, he's convincing of righteousness. Your right standing is to be found in him at the right hand of God where he made you an heir. A joint heir to the kingdom. Amen. If you don't get there, how are you going to appropriate all spiritual blessings in heavenly places while you're here? That's the problem. We don't get far enough up in there. You're going to have to be convinced if you're going to make your journey into God. You got to be convinced of some things. I am a citizen of the kingdom. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven. We're more than just little earth creatures. Now, the enemy would like to just convince you that that's all your life's going to be, is a little earth creature. But if all you are is a flesh creature, we're not going to get to see, experience what God really wants to do. Why does he have to get you there? Because the testimony that he's forging and forming. What did he say in Revelation? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The testimony he's forging and forming, my friends, a whole lot more than this I was delivered from drugs. But listen, you know, I did overcome here. He's not talking about just overcome here. You're going to overcome out here. The true testimony he's forging and forming, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb. What was it? It was the blood that set me free, that gave me access to come into the right hand of God. But it's in the right hand of God that our testimony is forged, our testimony is formed. In the book of Acts, they said, we are here to provide testimony. We have seen him in his resurrection. Eyewitness testimony. God is looking for eyewitness testimony. What did he say? Blessed are those who believe without seeing. You can see him all you want. You can make your journey, and all you need is the word of the living God. Go to Acts chapter 2 real quick. So he's convincing us of our right standing. Why? He's got to get us there. Why? Because that's where he's going to send you from. Somebody said one time, he says, it's the Holy Ghost's will that you be sent, but some of us just got up and went. What happens is when we go outside of the way he designed it, we're going by ourselves. We're going to get our results. We don't get very good results. In John 17, Jesus said the remarkable thing to his disciples. He says, Father, they are not of this world. How many know you're not of this world? How do I know that? I've been convinced by the Holy Spirit that I am a citizen of the kingdom. More importantly, I have visited the right hand of God too many times to know anything different. I know it's real. If I experienced him, the Father has loved me there. You have never been loved by the Father until you get in the right hand of God. You think his visitation of love is something? Where do you go to his house? Where he lives. You make your journey into the right hand of God. See, Jesus is there to present you to the Father. He said he presents you blameless, holy, unreproved. Father, I present them as forever perfect. Look what I've done, Father. They belong to a fallen race, but through my blood, I've washed them. And look, they've made it all the way up here, and I'm presenting them faultless before you, Father, so you can love them the way you love me. He told him, he goes, that my joy would be fulfilled in you. He wasn't talking about the ha-ha joy. He'd been with the Father for all eternity. He wanted to introduce you to what his joy was. He says, you've never been loved until you get loved by him. He's been my joy for eternity. I'm going back to him, but I've come to bring you to where he is so he can love you the way he loves me. The Father seeks those that worship him in spirit, in truth. I'm going to bring you through me the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm going to present you to him in his jurisdiction, in his house. And by the way, when he gets you there, he's received an inheritance on your behalf. Now, the key is, we know that he has received an inheritance. We know he's appointed heir of all things. We know all power and authority. And we know that every spiritual blessing, he said, I bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I said, Lord, what's the problem with getting that from there to here? I need the blessing here. All of it. Joy, peace, righteousness, favor, prosperity, power, wisdom, might, strength. Last night I come out of the prayer calls, I had this dunamis on me. What's dunamis? It's the Greek word for just might. I'm telling you, Asana. It was just, you can't manufacture that in the flesh. It was on me. I felt it. He said, I pray that all spiritual strength, you be strengthened in your inner man by my spirit that dwells in you. The Holy Ghost is transferring what's going on in the right hand of God here into the earth. Acts 2, I bless today. I found this verse. Wait till we get to phase 3. That's where the church is coming into. I venture to say we haven't seen a lot of phase 3 yet. We're going to see it. Amen. Prepare you a little bit. Acts 2, verse 32. And he's speaking again of his resurrection into the right hand of God. Acts 2:32, and this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. You can write eyewitnesses. Hey, you know when you're on a crash scene and you're called to give testimony? How many of you know that I can't go tell Pastor Chuck, say, look, I can't be there. I'm going to tell you what I saw. You go tell them what I saw. How many know you stood in front of a cop or a judge, they throw your testimony out. Why? It's not eyewitness testimony. That's wrong with the church. We know he's risen, but we don't have eyewitness testimony. Now, you don't have to see him in the flesh and have a visitation to heaven, but you must move into that jurisdiction where he has prepared a place for you in heavenly places, and you must experience the glory of that realm if you're going to be ambassador from that place. How is he going to send you somewhere you've never been? He doesn't send you from here. He said, Father, they are not of this world, John 17. But I send them into the world. Who sent them? Where is he sending you from? They never left the upper room. He said, but I'm sending them into the world. He's sending you from the right hand of God. Peter said, I am a witness of this. Listen, we're asking the whole world to believe that there is a spiritual king that sits on a throne in Zion. And he is a high priest that passed through the veil. He's alive. He's been resurrected. And I'm going to go tell, let's just use the Muslim for a minute. I'm going to go tell him he's already ready to die for his religion. And I'm going to tell him that my God is alive and he's the true and the living God. He sits on an invisible throne. You know what he's going to say? Prove it. You know what Jesus would say? Since you can't hear what I say to you, then believe the works. Problem is we have this Holy Spirit we don't know what to do with, and we don't know why he's not showing up. Let me show you what he has. So Jesus receives all this. He receives the inheritance. Hebrews 1, verse 2, he said, God appointed him heir of all things. So he receives this inheritance. He calls it fullness. In him, it pleased the Father that in Christ all fullness would dwell. Okay, so he sums this entire inheritance up, and he uses this word fullness, inheritance, what he received on our behalf. Now watch what happens here. What do we see in John 16? Jesus said he sent him, right? Look at Acts 2:32. Instead, and Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, nobody has a problem believing he's there. It's just when it comes time for us to be there. You know why? We hadn't been convinced. Listen, before this year, I wasn't convinced either. All my praying was, God, come to me. God, show up. Come, Father, come to me. Fix my problems here. It was all, come down. Come visit us. God said, I'll be happy to come visit you, but if you really want to know me, you got to come up to where I am. I made the way for you to be where I am. Why do you always want me to be where you are? Make that adjustment. You're on your way. If your old mentality is, God, come to me, fix me, do this, here. That's not the way he designed it. He designed for you to go into. See, he says, whereby we've granted access to the Father. Access is access. There's no two ways about it. But you got to be convinced of that, because if you're not convinced of that, the only way you go there, you don't leave your body, you go by faith. Your spirit comes into that jurisdiction. Your spirit comes into that room of fellowship. It's your spirit by faith in the living word. Otherwise, you're just confined to you, your thoughts, our way of doing things, our personalities. We get a nice, bright personality, put them on TV and said, here's what the gospel looks like. The Holy Ghost can change some of that here soon. Amen. I'm trying to get to this verse. It says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having, look at this. Now, what did he say? I'm going to send you the promise. I'm going to send you the promise. But notice where he was sent first. Having received, he's in the right hand of God. He receives his inheritance. He receives the fullness on the behalf of his church, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this. I'm thinking, well, why did the Holy Ghost have to go there? The Holy Ghost for you and I, right? Why did he go there first? He said in John 14, the Father will send him in my name. And then Jesus in John 16, which we read, he says, I'll send him to you. In fact, it's expedient for you that I go away. He didn't say it's expedient for him that he go away. He said it was expedient for you. Why? Because if you're going to operate like him, he had to go away and prepare a place, receive an inheritance on your behalf. And then he's going to send you the Holy Ghost. Why did the Holy Ghost stop by the right hand of God? The Father sent the Holy Spirit first to the right hand of God, then into the book of Acts. You see that? He sent him first to Jesus in the right hand, and then Jesus sends him into the church. Well, why did he send him? I'm glad you asked that question. Go back over to John 16. All right, so the Holy Ghost, the Father releases him. He is the gift. He is the man. He is the it. He is got it. He comes out from the Father. He's sent into the right hand of God, and he's there to pick something up before he comes here. All right, ready? Verse 14, John 16. He, well, look at verse 13. Howbeit the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you in all truth. What's all truth? He's going to guide you into me. He goes, you're going to be found where I am in the right hand. He's going to guide you into the right hand of God to be found in me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm going to present you to the Father. He says, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. Look at this. He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit, though he is a co-equal member of the Godhead, will not in this dispensation glorify himself. If you try to worship him, he'll turn it to Jesus. Right now, he has been sent from the right hand of God by the Lord Jesus to glorify what Jesus received on your behalf. He is going to glorify the Lord Jesus. He's going to glorify the Father. In this dispensation, he will not glorify himself. So what's he doing when he's filling you? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. What do you think he's filling you with? He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine. You underline that word, of mine. That is huge. And he will show it to you. If you have an Amplified Bible, he said he will declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. What did he receive when he went into the right hand of God? Because he said he would receive of mine, and then I'm going to send him to you. What do you think he received? Let's see what the Lord said he received. Verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and show it to you. The Father appointed him heir of all things, right? He received this inheritance, power, riches, wisdom, might, honor, glory, blessing, dominion, love, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. Out of your belly would flow rivers. He brought the river of life with him. He brought it all. He received that inheritance. And then the Lord said, now I entrust my inheritance that I received on the behalf of my church. Now I send you into the earth to work with my body. When he comes in here, he has guns loaded. He has all of that ready to release it. That's how I know that I don't supply the power. I don't supply the presence. I don't supply the glory. I don't supply the blessing. He is sent to manifest and materialize an invisible kingdom before our eyes. That is his job. That is his responsibility. He's been commissioned for him. For the most part, have shut him out. We give him a couple of minutes. You know what the church should be doing? What Jesus told him to tarry in Zion until you be endued with power. You know what we do? We go out without him. We start building. Without him, we ask the world to believe our word only. That's it. They have to just believe that what I believe about it. Who cares what I believe about it? Without him showing the evidence, without him bringing the testimony, without him bringing it, what do we have? I'm just asking you to get in a theological debate. How am I going to get in a theological debate with a guy who's already ready to die for his religion? You're not. They're not going to listen to you. What is your job? Your job was to make your journey into the right hand of God, receive your testimony. By the blood of the Lamb, receive your testimony, of eyewitness testimony of a resurrected king, and to be sent from the right hand with the Holy Ghost. He's being sent with you to bear co-testimony of a risen king priest that sits in Zion. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Now, this gets us into phase three, what he's been ready to do for a while. Because he is ready. Now for the man that's been convicted and translated into the kingdom, that he's convinced you of your right standing, and he's brought you all the way into your inheritance. He showed it to you. He's revealed it to you. Now you're an eyewitness of it. Now you're ready to be sent. Father, I send them into the world. The problem is we haven't been sent from the right hand bearing the proper testimony. You should read the book of Acts. We're here as a witness. We said you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be a witness. Your job is to witness, eyewitness what you've seen and heard. His job is to materialize, manifest it right in front of humanity. And that's what he's going to do. Let's look at John 16 and 8. Let's get to phase 3. Y'all ready for phase 3? I am ready. I'll tell you, God's a whole lot more ready. Phase 3 is, hallelujah. John 16, verse 8. And when he is come, the Holy Ghost, he will reprove, or he'll convince through evidence the world of their sin. He's going to convince you of your right standing. That's what he's been doing all year long. Convincing us that we're found in him. Convincing us we've granted access. Convincing us of our sonship. Convincing us that we are heirs together with him. Convincing us that we are seated with him at the right hand of God in heavenly places. Ephesians 2, he's been convincing us. I mean, I'm convinced. I've been there. I know that place. Now we're ready for phase 3. I told you we're going to have a little meat today. He said, and of judgment. Now, you got to know what he's convincing judgment, because he's not convincing you by your judgment. Watch what he's going to convince the world. Oh, I love this. Watch his explanation. Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, he's picking up directly from a previous spot from chapter 12, and he says something else about this. So go over to chapter 12, verse 31, because he's been teaching for a while here. Now, this is his job, and this is what he wants to do, and this is what he's going to do. This city is about to get some serious testimony from heaven that God is very much alive. Oh, hallelujah. Watch this, John 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. See that? Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So he said he's going to judge there. He said that he's going to convince the world, what? That the prince of this world's been cast out. In other words, verse 11, he's of judgment because he's going to convince the world that the prince of this world has been judged, cast out, defeated, dethroned. Right now, you take a religion and their God, and you try to take this gospel to a religion and their God by word only, they're going to say, why do I give up my God for your God? I have no evidence that you say your God lives. My evidence is I believe in my God. I have no evidence that your God. Yes, but we got the Holy Ghost. It's been given, and he is a gift. And he's going to convince you that your God has been judged. And he's no longer the God of this world system. There is a God that's reigning out of Zion. A king priest that's inherited all things. He is the true and living God, and nobody's coming to the Father outside of him. And the Holy Ghost is going to convince you today. How do you like to preach gospel like that? Go to John 15. It's very important you understand the process by which it's going to happen. Because the Holy Ghost is about to get turned loose. He has all of it. He's living in us. But he has to have your testimony with his. He's ready to testify. He's been ready. Nothing's changed. The word is the word. He has to have your proper eyewitness testimony. Some of us still got to be convinced that we have a rightful place to sit with him in the right hand of God. How are you going to testify of a king that's been resurrected if you've not ever experienced him? I don't have to see him come with bolts of lightning and diamonds on his garments. I know he's there. I've been convinced by the word. I've entered in the spirit. I've had the Father love me there. He filled me with his power there. I've experienced his glory day in and day out. I know what this jurisdiction feels like. I know what his jurisdiction feels like. I know I have a right to come out of this jurisdiction and be with him in his jurisdiction. I know the restraints of the flesh. What did he say in prayer? He said, when you pray, enter into thy closet. He's not talking about where your clothes are. Enter into that interior room in the temple. And the Father, which is in secret or in the hidden place, which is the same word for you are dead, your life is hidden with Christ. With the Father, which is hidden, he's there. He's telling you to enter in where the Father is. And more importantly, he says, shut the door. Why did he say shut the door? He wants you to know how far you got to get in. You got to get where the Father is. So you shut the door to the world. You shut the door to the flesh. You shut the door to the first heaven jurisdiction. Shut the door to the second heaven jurisdiction. We are a people of third heaven jurisdiction. We have been raised together with him, made to sit together with him in heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, the rulers of this world, the rulers of darkness. We have a much higher seat. Enter into where thy Father is. Shut the door, then start praying. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, the Lord's Prayer wasn't even meant to be prayed here. It's meant to be prayed when you shut the door. Our Father, which is in heaven. Okay, of judgment. Now, the Holy Ghost's job is to convince the world that the prince of this world has been judged. Why is he going to do that? Because he's asking them to believe on an invisible kingdom. He's got to convince them that the God they're serving has already been judged. He's going to do that. You don't have to do that. You just have to bear the proper testimony. Not secondhand testimony. They wouldn't say eyewitness testimony. If you're not an eyewitness, you got to go back to phase two and start getting convinced. Amen? But we're entering in now to phase three. This is when the world's going to go bug-eyed. 1526, when the Comforter has come, whom I'll send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And John 14 says the world can't even hear him, so how can he testify? They don't know him, they can't see him, they can't hear him. How's he going to testify? He's going to materialize the spiritual blessing, the fullness that's going on in the right hand of God. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to come fill you with it. He's going to come fill the atmosphere of this earth with the fullness that Christ received. What do you think he's filling you with? He's not glorifying himself. He's glorifying him. He's received of his fullness, and he's going to manifest all that stuff here. That means he's going to manifest power. He's going to manifest riches. How can we say we've got a risen king that's inherited the riches of the nation if we don't see manifestation here? Hey, riches in heavenly places is great, but I got to get it here because this is where I spend it. This is where the bills come in. He goes, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory where he received them, but I got to get in glory here. But I don't have to do that. The Holy Ghost is going to do that if I know how to cooperate with him, if I get to know him, if I can be the proper eyewitness. We're going to get some transference going on. He's called to declare, disclose, and transmit. He's going to materialize and manifest what is spiritual here in the earth. That's his job. That's not my job. That's his job. Amen? All right. Notice this verse 27. He says, you also shall bear witness. See? He's going to bear testimony. You're going to bear testimony. Now go to Acts 5 real quick. Pretty soon we're just going to show it to you. You're going to get to see it. I'm not going to have you even have to turn here. The Holy Ghost is going to show up here. He'll show up in front of this city. How do you know? Because he's convincing me. To be convinced is enough to get us into the right hand of God, a place you can't see with your eyes, you can't touch with your hands, a place that required you step out of this jurisdiction. If he got us there, how much more is he going to get what's going on there here? He is the convincer. He's about to convince this world their God has been judged. How's he going to do that? Signs, miracles, wonders, testimony, demonstration, confirmation, materialization. Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses, and so also is the Holy Ghost. You want to know how the Holy Ghost witnessed? Real quick, and then I'm going to show it to you. Hebrews 2, this is how the Holy Spirit testifies. Wow, we need his testimony again, my friends. What has the church been reduced to? What is it going to do to make you happy so you can come and sit down in a chair here? I don't want to offend you. I don't want to give you too much. You know, I just want to make you happy so you'll stay here. I'll create program after program after program. What about the Holy Ghost? When's he going to get to do his ministry? When's he going to get to be released to bring the fullness of the right hand and fill the earth with it? Don't you know he wants to do it? Don't you know he's ready? What about Jesus that sits as an intercessor? That sits as a mediator? Father, when I've asked of you of the nations, I set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree this day. Thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Acts 13:33 says that was speaking directly of his resurrection. And then he says, ask of me, son. The nations. Father, I've asked. You told me I could have them. I've sent the Holy Ghost. When, Father, when? Don't you know God wants to show himself alive? He does not want to see generation after generation go to hell to be expressed by a powerless church. The Holy Ghost has the fullness with him. He brought it with him when he come to live inside of us. He has all of that inheritance. He's about to turn it loose. You won't have to go convincing anybody. They're going to run. Conviction power is going to fill the city again. Glory and power, manifestation of an unseen God seen with the natural eyes. He's just to convince the world that their God has been judged. This is how he does it. Hebrews 2:4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs, wonders, diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, come. Fill this place with the glory of the right hand. He's the one that transfers it. Fill that. We honor you, Holy Spirit. We honor your ministry. We honor you as the gift. We're under your authority and we are co-laborers with you. We've been sent to provide dual testimony. We are eyewitnesses to the glorified king priest that sits in Zion after the order of Melchizedek. I see a king that's inherited a nation. I see a priest that inherited the apostolic government, ascended on high and led captivity captive, received gifts from men. I see him. We testify. Oh, Holy Spirit, in this hour, in this day, oh, show a risen kingdom again. Show a kingdom that is alive. We cannot do that. That is not our place. We provide testimony. Now, this is Philip. Now, he goes down. Now, you have to understand all these men, they got caught up into the kingdom in the early church, see. When they were caught up in the kingdom, they said they followed the apostles' doctrine daily. What do you think their doctrine was? Right hand of God. Study the first three or four sermons of the early church and ask yourself what they were teaching. Right hand of God. All right? So Philip comes in. Now watch this, verse 5, Acts 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ unto them. And the people of the one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake. Look at this. Hearing and seeing the miracles. Now let me show you what Samaria was under here. Now watch this. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. You know, most of the church won't even let someone come in with an unclean spirit, much less cast it out. Well, we're not really building along those kinds of things, you understand. And many taken with palsies and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now watch this. This is what the city was under. Tell me if the Holy Spirit didn't convince this city that their God that they were under before Philip showed up had been judged. Verse 9, and there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. The entire city was under darkness by one man's sorcery, saying that was their God. See, giving out that himself was some great one. Verse 10, to whom they all gave heed. How many? They all gave heed. The whole city was under darkness. If our day and age, you're not going to walk into a city like this with word only. Saying, oh, we serve a risen king. Well, hey, we've got already one that's here performing something. We got Simon. Simon's God is our God. Watch what happens here. See if the Holy Spirit didn't do some convincing with his demonstration. They gave all heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. This man is who we serve. His God is who we serve. You're not going into a city like that without the Holy Ghost. You'll walk right out having your pants. You get the picture. You probably don't have your pants after that encounter. Not without the Holy Ghost. You see the problem with the gospel here? The Holy Ghost was sent to convince that whole city that that man's God has been dethroned. See if it happened. And they gave heed. Verse 10, from the least to the greatest, the whole city was under. This man is the great power of God. You know what this city is coming out from under in this nation? Secular humanism, human sufficiency, the God of human sufficiency and no might. The church is going to come right out from under that. The gospel of what man can do is not cutting it. And to them they gave regard because for a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. And when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. And there was so much power flowing. Watch what happened to big Simon the sorcerer. And when Simon himself believed, oh, how did he believe? When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, astonished, beholding the miracles and signs were done. He wasn't astonished at his doctrine. He was astonished at the miracles, the signs, and the wonder, because the Holy Ghost was in there convincing the whole city that that man's God has been judged. That man's God has been dethroned. And I'm here to convince the city of it. And he pours out signs, miracles, and wonders, and their man gets saved. The whole city belongs to the Lord Jesus now. All of them. Because they were witnessing with the Holy Ghost, not without him. Isn't that awesome? Let's give the Lord a hand for that. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to testify before you. What's today? The 12th? I'm testifying there will be a manifestation of a king priest government in this city. A manifestation of a king priest government, an apostolic priesthood, and an administration of the kingly anointing. Both in government, natural government, spiritual, and the kings that will inherit the wealth of the nations. You will see that manifest. Why? We have borne testimony. We see a king priest called after the order of Melchizedek. We've seen him in the right hand of God, and the Holy Ghost is going to bear that testimony here. That means if you're a king and a businessman called to governmental offices and you've been struggling because you're not in the right government, you're going to step right into the government. Things are going to start happening for you. Said, what is going on? You got into a government that's alive and well. Listen, the Holy Spirit brings the glory of the right hand of God. Ever wonder why when the presence of the Lord fills the place, all kinds of things start happening? You know why? Because he's bringing the glory and the inheritance of the right hand and filling the earth with it, and everything in that inheritance just starts getting released on people. It just starts happening. I don't want to build any other way. I refuse to build any other way. I will tarry in Zion until he shows up, because we're wasting our time without him. The world has seen enough of our Christianity, I can assure you. You can't say it better than it's being said right now. You can't perform it better than it's being performed. You can't televise it any better than it's being televised. You can't get any better personalities than the ones that are there. The best of the best. You've seen it. We've seen it. It's awesome. It's the best that man can do. But I'm telling you, without the Holy Ghost, we're in a lot of trouble. He can fix everything real fast. Pretty soon, we're going to have our own little book of Acts going. Amen? Oh, how do you know? Because he's convincing me. I'm getting highly convinced he's fixing to do it. I know I can't do it, and I know he can. And his words made a very clear distinction of what I can do and what he does. Acts 13, verse 6, I love this. Remember what was the Holy Spirit going to do? Convince the world that the prince of darkness has been cast out. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer. Amazing how they just get in front of sorcerers. Holy Ghost just sets that stuff up. A false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the deputy of the country. Mm-hmm. The devil knows how to attach himself to the leadership of countries. Mm-hmm. Which is with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus. But God wanted that deputy in righteousness. Just imagine yourself with a word-only gospel confronting this situation. And a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Well, that's too bad, because Paul had the Holy Ghost with him. And the Holy Ghost was sent to bear judgment that that man's God has been dethroned. That man's God, that prince has been cast down. The Holy Ghost says, step aside. Let me have this now. See, that's what he likes to do. He likes to come in there with you. He's working with you. He wanted to hear Paul, but then this guy starts in on him right there, you see? The sorcerer gets in the middle of it, and Holy Ghost said, my turn! We got to give the Holy Ghost his turn! I am not ashamed of this gospel. Then Saul, who's called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost starts filling. You know something about to happen. Set his eyes on him. Said, oh, full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Notice that Paul didn't get into a theological sermon with a guy that's possessed with witchcraft. You don't do that. He's not interested in how much knowledge you have. You better have the Holy Ghost, or you're going to walk away defeated. That's just the, he's going to walk away defeated if you have the Holy Ghost. If you don't, you're going to walk away defeated. And that's just the way it's going to be. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist as of darkness, and went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Oh, mighty sorcerer, could somebody please help me? Could somebody please help me? I'm not interested in what happened to that man. I'm interested in what happened to the deputy, Sergius Paulus. This man was a great man in the city. Mm-hmm. And the deputy, who saw what was done, didn't hear what was done, saw. We're going to go from hearing to seeing. What he said? Holy Spirit was going to judge the God of this world. Sin. He judged him right in front. Right in front of that deputy. Judged him. When he saw what was done, believed. Did the Holy Spirit convince him? Convince the whole city of Samaria? Just convince now the leader of Paphos. And being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. That's what the gospel of astonishment's about to do to this city. I'm going to say gospel of astonishment. The Holy Ghost is about to astonish the world again. Father, we bore witness of the truth. We are eyewitnesses, Jesus, and you sit at the right hand of God, and we sit with you. You've received an inheritance on the behalf of your church, and the mighty Holy Ghost has been sent with that inheritance to manifest it, to materialize it, to judge the God of this world system and to show this world, to convince them that the God of this world system has been dethroned, cast out, and judged. Father, thank you. You are with us. You are for us. And we tarry in Zion. We tarry in the right hand of God until we as a church be endued with power on high. We are waiting, Father. We are waiting for the mighty Holy Ghost to come again, to fill the earth with the glories of the right hand of God. We are content to know, Father, that our position is to provide testimony, and He is going to manifest it and materialize it in the earth. We give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's give Him praise.